Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Odetta, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports, joined today as always by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's episode, we have a special guest interview today following the NWSL Challenge Cup Championship. Before we get into everything, a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter for all news and updates at Attacking Third. You can watch us as video too at youtube.com/attackingthird, and you can be sure to hit subscribe so that you never miss out on our exclusive interviews or whenever we go live. Today's special guest is an NWSL Challenge Cup champion, part of the Challenge Cup best starting 11, defender for North Carolina Courage, Carson Pickett. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you guys.
We're hyped to chat with you. We were chatting a little bit off mic, and Lisa and I were chatting. We were like, oh, let's line up a player interview for A3 this week. And we're like, you know, it'd be great to chat with Carson Pickett
of the North Carolina Courage.
So happy. I know you and I have chatted a little bit before in the past for some work with CBSSports.com, but this is your first time joining us on Attacking Third. So welcome. And you're coming off of a huge Challenge Cup championship. Let's start with that. Are you still celebrating? Are you still feeling the effects of the celebrations? What was something that you and your teammates did perhaps to celebrate lifting the cup?
Yeah, I mean, this club is known for winning championships. And unfortunately, I haven't won many of them in the pros. So being on this team, I knew when I got here at some point, I would be winning a championship. And I'm so proud of the group, honestly. You know, I'm going to be honest, when we started preseason, we weren't sure how it was going to go just from losing so many amazing players. And, you know, we weren't sure how it was going to, we were all going to be together. There's some veterans, like a lot of new people, and not only were the new people, other veterans in the league, there were a lot of younger girls. So we weren't sure how that was all going to come together, but our first game, I remember after we played Gotham at home, we were like, whoa, that is not what we expected. Preseason wasn't always like perfect, but yeah, when we played that first game, I was like, wow, this is going to be a really great year. And it's just nice to be surrounded by so many girls who just want to, work hard day in and day out, day in and day out. And, I think that everyone here is really special, and the groups come together so well. So to be able to win the Challenge Cup championship was just like incredible. And to be at home, I think it all worked out that way as well, to be in front of our fans, to have our family in the stands, and, you know, to be able to be home and celebrate. But I just remember, I think the best part was going back in the locker room and just like having the Budweiser and the beer just everywhere. I think that was just like the coolest thing. I'll never forget that.
Yeah. You got to get that beer shower after the win. I mean, huge celebrations, and you're at home, so you don't have to travel anywhere or go anywhere. Fantastic. So the Challenge Cup final, it's a 2-1 win over Washington Spirit, and you were named to the Challenge Cup best 11, due in large part to your performance, especially in that Challenge Cup final. We at Attacking Third, we love defense. We are so high on it. And for you as a defender and outside back heading into that match, you knew you were going up against 2021 Rookie of the Year, Trinity Rodman. What was your biggest individual focus heading into that championship match, knowing all these different factors?
Yeah, I mean, we know Washington very well. I think that within the last 2 years, it's become quite the rivalry. And just playing them so many times throughout the last 2 years, I think that, you know, we know them very well. They know us very well. So it was kind of the same game plan every time. You know, you just got to stop Trinity, Ashley Hatch, and Ashley Sanchez. Those are the top three that you have to stop for Washington. So yeah, that was kind of our game plan, just to limit Ashley Sanchez and her ability on the ball just to feed Hatch and Rodman. So those were our main focuses. And just to, you know, make sure that they didn't get behind us, because Trinity Rodman's obviously, she's fast, she's athletic. So just to kind of keep them in front of us was one of our main focuses, especially as defenders. It's a lot easier to defend when they're in front of you rather than chasing them. So I think that was the biggest thing that we tried to focus on for sure.
Yeah, you don't really want to be chasing either of those three.
No, they're fast.
Incredibly fast. This was your first start in two Challenge Cup matches. You dealt with a bit of an injury. How was coming back from that injury and then starting in the championship?
Yeah, I think as professionals, especially professional athletes, you know, you have to deal with injuries all the time. And fortunately, I've had a really good run with injuries. I have hardly ever missed any games in my 7 years in the WSL. So to be able to to sit on the sidelines with an injury is not fun. But the older I get, the more I realize that, you know, if you're out two games, it saves you from bringing out 2 months. So unfortunately, I had to make that decision. I could have tried to push for the LA game away. And me and the medical staff just thought it was best to kind of take care of the injury early so that I could come back for, you know, the final and much more important games, and just to be able to play in the future. So unfortunately, we had to make that decision. I'm glad it worked out the way it did, because I was able to play in the final. I would have hated to miss the final. That's something you like dream of and live for. So we made that decision, and it was terrible in the moment. I was not happy. I was a bit moody with our medical staff. Probably wasn't very nice, but it all worked out exactly how it was supposed to.
I think it maybe worked out for the best. Sometimes you got to let the story play out a little bit on its own and maybe take a back seat and allow some of the pages to turn before you can really sort of make that big splash and that big return. I'd love to chat with you a little bit, maybe about some of your teammates alongside who you lifted this cup with. It was also recently announced that Davinia was awarded the Challenge Cup MVP. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about kind of going through a first season with her to now in 2022, lifting a Challenge Cup with Davinia.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows Deb. So luckily, I think this is like the biggest thing that I've learned. I'm just so happy she's on my team and I'm not going against her. There has been way too many years that I've had to go against her, and it was terrible. And I just remember preparing for games, and it was all about Deb. And so to be able to prepare for games and not have to speak about someone like Davinia, you know, not getting on her highlight reel and things like that, I think that, you know, there's a calming effect to it. But yeah, she's incredible. She's an incredible player. She does so much on and off the ball. I think that I play really well with her. I think we both read the game really well. So, you know, when I first came, I'm like, she's everywhere. I don't know where she's going to go. I don't know where she's going to be, because she's just, she runs, she never stops. And so I think it took like, you know, a couple games to get used to that. But now I feel like whenever I go to look up, I don't even have to look to see where she is. I know she's going to be there. So I think that we've really gelled together. I love playing with her. I know where she's going to be all the time. I think she knows where I'm going to be. There's times where she also will play a ball without looking, and she knows I'm going to be there. So I think that there's a really good connection between us. And, you know, I sit back and watch her meg people and juke people. And I honestly just, I'm so thankful it's not me. I think that that's just the biggest thing.
I would love to ask you then, in terms of like the opposite side of the flank here, with working game days with somebody like a Mara Mathias. Look, I'm going to ask you you're a champion. You looked at a title. I'm going to ask you to glow a little bit. Do the Courage have the best outside back duo in the league right now?
Yes,
talk to me about it.
Absolutely. I mean, I have to back us, obviously. So yeah, I do. I think that both sides, the left and the right now, I think we're all clicking together. And I think that, you know, adding Carolyn and such amazing players to the team just helps us all around. So I think the less that me and Merritt have to defend, the better it'll be, just because that means we're getting into the attack and not having to worry about too much of our actual position. So I know the games that are good for me are always the ones where I'm not defending. So it's much, much more fun when I'm in the attack. But yeah, I mean, I back us right now. I do think that both sides are just clicking and we're doing really well. And I think that it works. I think everyone's playing really well together. There's good vibes. And I think that, you know, when everyone is good in the locker room and everything is great off the field, you just are happier on the field and you just work better together on the field. And right now I think it's just all come together at a perfect time. And luckily it was to win a championship, but also luckily it's in the beginning of the year. So you can only build from that.
Spoken like a true defender. The best teams are when you don't actually defend. Well,
I know, like no one actually likes defending.
Yes,
I agree. It's work.
I agree with that. You want to be whipping crosses in, getting assists. I get it.
Exactly. Thank you.
Looking at the schedule between the Challenge Cup and the regular season, there was overlap between that. I mean, you mentioned you had to miss a regular season game in order to make sure your body was healthy to play in that Challenge Cup final with a team that had three games in 9 days between the regular season and the Challenge Cup. How do you approach that quick turnaround individually and as a team? Does that change your preparation?
Yeah. I mean, I think the way that it was set up, is kind of crazy. It's crazy that, you know, we had to potentially move, which did happen, regular season game, our home opener for, the Challenge Cup. And I think that that's super challenging, not only for the teams that are in the final, but the teams that were preparing to play, like Portland and I guess Chicago. I mean, it's challenging, and to have to reschedule games and stuff. And I think that it's mentally a lot harder than it is physically. Physically, we're professionals, day in and day out, we're working hard. And if we have to play three games in a week, that's not unheard of. So I think that, you know, although it's nice for some teams to get a break, if they didn't make it, the 10K is definitely worth it. So I think that's always honestly the mindset. You know, if we were just playing to play, of course, we're professionals and we're going to do the best no matter what. But, you know, when you think about, oh, we could have rest or we could have 10K, probably going to pick the 10K. So it is what it is. I think that you have to roll with the punches, especially in professional sports. Whatever comes at you, you're just, we're taught to just get through it. So there wasn't much talk about it. I think that, you know, it is a bit challenging that although you make it to the finals and it's such a great achievement and things, you're actually playing a lot more games than other teams. And so that plays into it, but that's when you kind of go to your bench and to the depth of your team. And I think that says a lot about the players who can come in and you can rest some players. And I think that's something that is really, really, really important, especially in the NWSL.
You know, sticking with the regular season here, North Carolina Courage has this tradition of winning, and with this Challenge Cup, it's the club's seventh trophy. Mm-hmm. Ahead of the 2022 season, though, there was some expansion across the league, going from 10 clubs to 12 clubs, with the two Cali sides entering the fold. When you're looking at this North Carolina Courage team and looking at the competitive landscape of the league now, and knowing there's a long grind in front of you, are there any, you know, iron sharpens iron, right? Are there any other clubs out there that you're looking? You've talked a little bit about the Spirit already, saying that this is a team that you go up against and you know they're going to present a challenge. Are there any other clubs out there that you're looking at on the calendar? You're saying, you know, this is going to be a challenge that we want to go out there and perform really, really well against.
Yeah, I think just especially going off the Challenge Cup and the first game of the season, there hasn't been too many games. I think OL Reign, I think they're a great team. I think they're going to be hard to beat. They have a lot of really good players, a lot of really good veterans. And I think that's a game that we're going to definitely be circling on the calendar, that we want to make sure that we put in a good performance against them for sure. Portland, I mean, well, it's always Portland, especially if it's in Portland. You always want to beat Portland in Portland. So I think Portland is another incredible team. They're just, no matter what year it is, they're always a good team. They always have great players. And even if they lose players, they bring in great players. So I think that those two, especially, I know Chicago, there's a relatively kind of like us. I think that there is, like, you know, a lot of people that left and some different people that came in. So I think all these teams are new, to be honest. I don't think there's a team that I'm like, oh, there's more returners than the new players, because I think with the expansion and with trades and things that can happen in the NWSL, I think there's a lot of new teams that aren't expansion teams. And so you just got to continue to watch games, watch them play other teams, and just kind of see what their new tactics are and how their coaches, because there's so many new coaches as well, you know, what they're going to do with that team. So I think right now, OL Reign, they're a great team in Portland. I think those are the main two that we would look at and want to make sure we get put great performances in.
Yeah, always scouting the opponents. Love to see that. But there is a lot of new faces, a lot of turnover, a lot of good talent in this league. You touched on it with your team and some of the teammates you have, a number of rookies that really were fantastic to watch during the Challenge Cup, whether it's Malia Berkeley or Emily Gray, Deanna Ordonez. Really tremendous things we're seeing from these young rookies. As a veteran in this league and with North Carolina, what in particular do you see from these rookies that's so impressive?
I think the biggest thing that veterans look at, and specifically here at the Courage, is just like grit. Can you come in? Can you work hard? Our trainings are more likely going to be harder than our games because we just train so hard here. And I think if they can keep up in training, that they're going to be fine in the league. And when you surround yourself in training with the best players, I think that it makes you less nervous for the games because you've already been going up against the best in training. So I think that that's why it's really important to, obviously you want to have a good team so you can win games, but you want to have really good players on your team so that, you know, when you are practicing, you're going up against the best. And I think that that's what happened with the Courage, especially when it came last year. I mean, I was going up against Lynn Williams and people like that and Jess McDonald. And I think that if, you know, if I can mark them in training, then hopefully I can mark a lot of different people in the games. And so it's just all about preparation. And I think that the rookies have come in and they did the work in the off season. I think that that's the first thing you look at is, have they come in fit? Have they taken the off season serious just to be ready for this, for the league? But I will be the first one to say, and I went through it too, nothing can prepare you for the NWSL. College doesn't prepare you for it. Even if you're on the best team, the speed, at which the NWSL is played is just unheard of, and you just cannot prepare for it. So, I think the things we look at the most is the rookies that come in, is how they react to adversity and how they can cope and, quickly make up for all the different things and the speed and stuff like that, and going in, it's just the best players in the league. So I think that just watching them grow each day has been incredible, but they are putting in the work, and I just appreciate people who want to be here and want to do everything that they can for the team. And I think that that's what all of our rookies have brought in for sure.
I love hearing you with all your experience in the league, chatting a little bit about what you're seeing from this kind of next wave of players coming in. You know, during the off season, we challenged ourselves at Attacking Third. We said, oh, we're going to like do an episode preview for every single club this year, all 12 clubs. And when we got to North Carolina Courage, it was kind of really perfect timing because we had set up a conversation with Barrett, and we were talking a little bit about the preseason, the early days, and something like a very historic CBA that had recently got passed. So with all your experience, I would love to, you know, take a second to maybe get your thoughts on this a little bit, because some of what came out of the post game in the Challenge Cup, you talked about that. You said, yo, 10K is life-changing for some players. So when we're looking at things like new investment, new resources kind of filtering into the league, a CBA that is in place, when you're looking at that as a whole, was there something in particular within the current CBA that maybe resonated with you on a personal level? Because one of the big things about it is you can go through this 44-page document and sort of see how player experience within the league has directly impacted sort of this new historic contract for you all. So what are maybe some bullet points or some things within it that kind of has resonated with you?
Yeah, I think first off, I want to shout out Megan Burke just for the things that she went through and had to go through to get our CBA passed, and her and all the players. I mean, I remember being on a call one time for an hour, just kind of listening in the background, and the stuff that they were talking about, I mean, half of it I had no idea about. And I think that it's crazy that I've been in the league for 7 years and I didn't even know my rights and anything. I didn't know what I was supposed to be getting. I didn't know what I wasn't supposed to be getting. Like, I just genuinely didn't know anything, because I'm like, oh, the NWSL holds my rights. Like, I'm giving my career to them. And I think that that has been the biggest change, is the fact that we now know our rights and we now know what to expect, what we deserve. And I think that that has been like life-changing for people. I mean, I will say, I think the money, the minimum going up, I think that's just the biggest thing. I know that when I was first a rookie, I know it was only 5-6 months. The league was a lot shorter, but what the girls just won, or what we just won in the Challenge Cup, the 10K, was more than the minimum. Like, we were making $7,000, and you can't live off that. Like, you just can't. And I think that that is the biggest change. And, you know, some of the girls are always, we are always talking to the rookies. The other day we were on a away trip, I think at Gotham, and they were like, oh, Red Bull's so nice. And we were like, yeah, well, you should have played at Rutgers when like the locker room didn't have showers. And it was like a dugout in there. It almost felt like a dugout, and there was no showers. It was a college, and we were just laughing. They're like, no way. Like, we could never dream of like playing in something like that. And I think that they just don't understand. But I love that they don't understand, which means that we're obviously growing the league and that they don't have to go through those things. So I think, you know, the disaster of when I was on Seattle and we played Western New York on the baseball field, like memories. Things like that. Yeah. I mean, it's just like those memories, looking back, it's insane that we had to go through those things, but it just shows how much the league has grown and how amazing the CBA is now. And I think going off that, one of the best parts of the CBA is not being never allowed to play on a baseball field. I think that that's like one of the biggest things in the CBA. It's almost sad that that has to be in there, because we should never be playing on a baseball field anyways. But the fact that like we had to put that in there almost says something about how the league has grown, just because there was no real standard before, I don't think, in certain areas. And now, you know, none of these young ones ever have to play in at a college, or, you know, somewhere where there's no showers or no changing rooms and things like that. So I just appreciate that the CBA was passed, and there's so many amazing things. And I think the biggest thing is like, you know, playing surfaces, the minimum wage, like all the different things that these girls are getting to experience and not having to experience is just like really cool.
No, I appreciate you, you know, expressing your thoughts on the CBA and current. And that, I think that's a really important note that you bring up with you kind of being in this leadership role and like having the rookies, and you're like, hey, I'm going to tell you, back in my day, we had to play on a baseball. But it's true. It's like someone like me, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I remember that. I think Kottmeyer picked up an injury.
Yeah, Haley got injured.
It was a very, very tough day. But I mean, it's quite frankly literal growing pains, right, that we find ourselves discussing and chatting a little bit about now. But I think maybe to close out, we like to, whenever we have a guest interview on, we always like to close out with a little bit of fun. So I guess for you, it's going to be a $10,000 question. So like you win, you lift the cup, you talk a little bit about it, saying something like that is life changing. So when you have a new filter of zeros coming your way, something that you're already thinking about, like, I'm going to treat myself. Like, what is going to be your my treat myself moment? Is it like just coffee for the next month? Is it a new pair of kicks? What is it for Carson Pickett?
So, not gonna lie, I did have a pre-purchase because I just believed in our team. I knew we were gonna win. So I did buy a Breville espresso machine that was $600.
I love that for you.
Yeah. I'm like, it just, when I got it, I'm like, my life is elevated. It's completely elevated now. I have to. So, not going to lie, I did that before we won, but that is because I had so much confidence in us. But now getting that money, I'm like, okay, well,
you're like, it's fine now. It works out. It all works out.
It all evens itself out. So now that you've had the espresso machine, what's like your top flavor? What's your go-to make now at home?
So actually, funny story, I am like a vanilla latte girl. Like, I can't drink coffee without syrup in it. But because I finally have such a nice machine, I like don't need syrup anymore. So I'm like growing up, I'm more mature now. So I can just appreciate good coffee. I just get it at home.
It's an investment in yourself and in the coffee that you drink. Carson, this was a delight. Thank you so much for joining us on Attacking Third today. Good luck with the remainder of the season. We always thank our listeners towards the end of the episode, so thanks everybody for following along. You can follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third for so much more. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to your shows. We're also available as video. Subscribe at youtube.com/attackingthird, and we'll be back this week with so much more for Sandra and Reda, Lisa Roman, and Carson Pickett. This was Attacking Third.
Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.